to train in Rita and also during Gustav, another major lesson learned. We saw much sicker people in the medical special needs shelter than we ever dreamt. So it's like, how do we take care of these sick folks? In our stay plan, and all of you are familiar with the ESFs. ESF 1 is transportation. ESF 6 is mass care. Well, we are ESF 8. That's public health and medical. So according to the state plan and according to legislation, the Department of Health and Hospitals is the lead agency for medical special needs shelters. And Department of Health and Hospitals is really misleading because we're really not responsible for hospitals. We have a couple of psych hospitals that we govern. We have a couple of facilities for addictive disorders, for substance abuse, but we don't have the responsibility of the tertiary care centers. And we rely very heavily upon our community partners, Louisiana Hospital Association, Louisiana Primary Care Association. So we work very closely and collaboratively with these partners that Diane so eloquently spoke about earlier, because we cannot do this alone. So as we learn those lessons that we're seeing much sicker people in these shelters, one of the things we knew was that public health nurses, who's responsible for running these medical special needs shelters, did not have the skill sets to take care of these folks on a day-to-day basis. So what we did was to pull together a summit in July of 06 and 07 that brought together every entity within the state that was responsible for taking care of these type folks. The federally qualified health centers, looking at who or what would be the key partner in making it happen. And our goal was to, how do we manage these disease processes during a disaster, and how do we keep them from exacerbating? You know, that in itself is very key when your hospitals are already surged out, when they have no beds, where are these folks going? So our key in the medical special needs shelter is to manage them, to keep them from having to be admitted to a tertiary center. And sometimes that was a problem during Katrina and Rita, when we had docs in the medical special needs shelters putting patients on, evacuees on sliding scales for their diabetes. It's like, no, you can't put folks on sliding scales. If you have 400 and 500 folks in a shelter and you have 20 or 30 staff, they can't manage sliding scales in a shelter. So the objective of the summit was to provide guidance to the clients, first and foremost, what they should do to manage their own illness, to provide guidance to the shelters, whether it was a medical special need, whether it was a Red Cross, faith-based system, how do we take care of these chronic problems in the shelter, and to compile recommendations and guidelines for the care in those shelters. And this is an example of all of the participants that were part of the summit. You had American Red Cross, we had Network 13, who dealt with end-stage renal disease, because the large number of folks that's receiving dialysis was just unreal. American Heart, looking at American Lung Association, the Association of Diabetes Educators. So we had a litany of groups and people there to develop the plan and the criteria that was needed. So the summary from this first summit was to put forth the recommendations for those specific targeted diseases so that they would be implemented across the board, to provide training and information to those individuals who would be working those shelters, and they would have the necessary trainings and skill sets they would need. And what we had was different follow-up initiatives from the summit. And first of all, our ESRVIP, our emergency system for advanced registration of our health volunteers, we notified all of our partners about that. We had insulin that was donated. How do we get that out? Plus, our biggest and most important follow-up, and I would say outcome, was the guidelines for care of the chronically ill in the shelters. We worked with our tertiary care centers in each of the regions of the state. Our public health nurses provided the lecture in the mornings. Then the hospitals would use their clinical nurse specialists as well as their equipment to actually do hands-on skill sets. We had two rounds of trainings. The first time we had 11 trainings in 8 locations throughout the state, trained right at 452 nurses on how to take care of their diabetic client, a cardiac compromise, a mobility impaired, how do you transfer, hospice clients, dialysis, neurological folks, and the biggest one was addictive disorders. How do we deal with those folks in the shelters that were on methadone and needed those type services? So this is what we did. This is an example of those skill sets, how to take care of those ostomies, those stomas, trachea, suctioning, all of those things you get in nursing school, but when you've done public health nursing for 20 years, you lost those skills. So how do you go back and get the skills you need and make sure that you're able to carry them out in the shelters? And even doing Gustav and Ike, we're meeting right now because here again, the folks in the shelters are much sicker. We shouldn't even call them medical special needs shelters. We should just call them field hospitals because that's what they are. A summary of Summit 6, that was the second summary. Summit was developing strategies so that we will know ahead of time who we will be receiving into those shelters. How do we have that database and track them? We have been trying to work with Home Care Association, working with our local and parish Office of Emergency Preparedness, because they're supposed to be collecting this information, but we haven't gotten there yet. So having this one centralized database so that we can plan accordingly. If you know how much oxygen that I ordered this last time, it was just unreal, 10,000 D&E cylinders, because what also happened, and that's a whole nother presentation, when we talk about evacuating the whole coast of Louisiana, we evacuated over 2 million people. It worked. We evacuated over 77 hospitals, and this was post-storm. And the reason for that is that the longevity generators going down and folks that thought their plans were in place and working did not. So we ended up evacuating major tertiary care facilities this last time. And so as we continue to go forward, we've learned a lot, we've done a lot of planning, but still a lot more planning needs to go forth, especially from the pediatric arena. And I'm gonna be calling Diane after this to talk to her. How do we deal with the pediatric vents in that time of crisis? And still working with our federally qualified health care centers, looking at and developing the algorithms that we need to have and to make sure that we have all of the latest, the up-to-date national criteria, because as we state, whatever we do is according to the standard. And if they're stepping into a shelter, they don't get anything less than the best of care. We work with our Medicare intermediary in the state, that's Louisiana Healthcare Review. We connect directly with their docs. They have over 1,000 docs in their database. And working with our addictive disorders program and developing those detox guidelines so that folks will know what to do if they have a person that need to be detoxed. The meeting went well. It was a lot of information for the two summits. What do we need to do differently? How do we continue our problem solving? Well, it's always not enough time. The problems are more than we have to be able to deal with in our short brainstorming session. But all of the key players came to the table, and what they want is more time to continue to work through each of the issues. There were some things that did not require immediate attention, so we put them in the parking lot, and we're working through those now as we continue to work through solutions. These are some of the resources that we developed for all of the shelters. You can even go online to on the web and find out where the methadone clinics are, what the guidelines are, and we even have great information about what to do. And if you're a little doc in a rural community and you have someone that needs to be detoxed, how you do that. And pre-identifying medication, making sure that they're not ordering all of these, you know, state-of-the-art drugs, but how do we have a common formulary that everyone can use and we can get to, because, you know, this is a disaster and it is a crisis. So how do we identify these things to make sure that everyone is on one accord? And if you're in a shelter in North Louisiana and get deployed down to South Louisiana, the protocols and the standards are all the same. This is my information. I know it was a lot of information done quickly. But would love to talk to any one of you, and let me give you my email address, because that's one thing I failed to put on that slide. It's D as in dog, Brown, D Brown at dhh.la.gov. And let me just state that we've learned a lot, we've drilled a lot, and we've put some best practices in place that CDC has been very, very supportive of, as well as HHS. And anything that we can share, we are willing to, because the approach that we are using is an all-hazards approach. So it doesn't matter. You can use this plan, chronic disease, if you have the nurses from California, if you got a mudslide, or if you got the fires and you got mega shelter set up, you'll be able to use all of this, same thing. It's an all hazards approach to any disaster of any kind. So email me, call me, we'll be happy to share email plans, whatever we're doing, even talking a little bit more, because the more we are prepared, the better we are prepared, the better our response will be. And we saw that during Gustav and Ike. Things rolled. We were in a much better place than we were 3 years ago. And we really have to state that it's due to the 3 years of nonstop planning. And I'm going to end it by stating that is due to having nurses in charge of certain areas. And nurses bring a different perspective to the table. And after 9/11, when this position was offered to me, I said, oh, no. You don't need a nurse. You need someone with a military background that understands weapons of mass destruction. Little did I know, after three directors for this section, what you need is someone that knows public health and understands that whole perspective of planning, assessment, planning, implementing, evaluating, and starting that whole circle all over again.
A nurse without walls.
A nurse without walls. And let me just state that our nurses have done it all and have been in every arena, from being on the field at the Airheads, to being in the shelters, to being at the OEPs, to being on the triage telephone lines that we established. We have 1-800 numbers in each of the 9 regions of the state, so people can call in on any time and get real-time person and information. So thank you all, and I will entertain questions if anyone, yes.
I was just wondering, you were talking about recommendations and guidelines for treatment. Are those online somewhere?
Recommendations and what we can do, they are not published because we are still working to iron out the kinks and solidify them. And when you're dealing with many, many groups, now we do have some online. So the opiate, yes. To the Department of Health and Hospitals, DHH, LA.gov. Mm-hmm. So they could find out about the methadone treatment,
okay,
the opiates,
so
the detox. That's
I don't
it.
Know if it's your email address on the blog, it's not that people email you.
Right.
About,
but we do put our plans on the website.
Okay, right.
So as they are developed, as they are finalized with all of our critical partners, they do go online.
Okay.
So they can go to the DHH website and there see everything from our pandemic flu plan to everything that we can publish online that's not confidential.
Is that
DHH.LA.gov. DHH.LA. Yes. Oh, no, that's a good question.
I'm all about that people who weren't here today.
Right, and we're trying to, you know, get it out there. And
get that message out right.
That's
first.
Right, trying to get the, and we thank you, because we want to get the message out, and if it's something that we've learned, we want to share it.
Well, you've talked about test case and everything. I mean,
yes.
You're there, so we should. Talk to Louisiana.
That's right, talk to us. We've been tested. Along
thank
with
you,
our
ladies,
friends in Florida. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thank
all.
You very much.
And then, video. I'm glad you got it working. It's a tearjerker.
Oh, yes. And Johnson & Johnson is just awesome. We want to thank them.
Thank you.